This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's exactly 6:39 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. In the meantime, we're going to be continuing our Malaysian journey, I suppose. With Merdeka just around the corner, I think a lot of different things are kind of popping up and on people's minds. And today we saw an article that is about efforts to restore cities and landmarks to their original names. And there are some groups that are pushing for this, saying that they want to decolonize Malaysia from its past. So, for instance, we have historian Ahmad Murad Merkan, who wants Georgetown to be reverted to its original Malay name, which is Tanjung Penaga. And then the youth wing of Ikatan Muslim in Malaysia wants to rename St. Paul's Hill in Melaka to Bukit Melaka. So what the activists say is that they're riding on global campaigns against symbols of systemic racism and colonialism, such as Black Lives Matter in the US. And they cited how countries in India have already changed the names of their cities. So the plan here is to launch a campaign on Merdeka Day called Tukar Nama Asal Hapus Jejak Penjajah. However, several Eurasian groups have also opposed the idea. The Malacca Eurasian Portuguese Association sees the campaigns as an attempt to deny their history and identity. Association President Michael Singo says, "The colonial elements are now a part of our history and you shouldn't erase the history of other communities." And, you know, this is a very complex conversation that actually comes up, I would say, every so often, whether or not we're talking about road signs or, in this case, larger scale changes. And it's not as if we haven't seen these sorts of changes before. Klang was not called Klang previously. Teluk Intan was Teluk Anson, you know. And I think that there are many Malaysians who will actually remember those names, who have grown up calling calling certain places by one name and having to switch it to another. My father's from Ipoh, and he often refers to all sorts of roads that just don't exist anymore. And so I think that there are some questions to be had about ridding ourselves of colonial symbols, of trying to assert a more Malaysian identity. I think, however, that comparing it to the efforts that are being made in the United States to pull down statues and so on, in those instances, the reason behind pulling down the statues are not just as an opposition to systemic racism, but usually because there are communities who say that, you know, the celebration of these figures are actively doing them harm, like it's actively causing harm and causing pain. And in this instance, I'm not sure that there are so many people who are walking around in Georgetown or walking past St. Paul's Hill and feeling that kind of that exact feeling. So I think it really has to be a more community conversation. It has to be a conversation that stems from the people who live in these places and the questions that or the feelings that they have about the name. But yeah, I mean, let us know what you think. So there is a push from some groups to rename, elements of Malaysia from Georgetown, for example, to Tanjung Penaga. And there are also people who are saying that, no, I don't want to be, this is an erasure of my identity and this just doesn't work for me. You can let us know which side of the equation you land on by calling 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We are going to be exploring this after with independent heritage consultant Elizabeth Cardoza. So do keep it here for that. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:45 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We're talking now about a push from some groups to decolonize Malaysia from its past, specifically by renaming certain spots in the country. So, for example, renaming Georgetown to Tanjung Penaga, renaming St. Paul's Hill to Bukit Melaka, and the pushback, really, from other communities saying that it is an attempt to deny their history and identity. We want to know what you think. I mean, do you agree that we need to rename places or roads that have colonial names? Or is that maybe not the healthiest way to interact with our history? You can let us know what you think. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, on the line with us is independent heritage consultant Elizabeth Cardoza. Elizabeth, it's always good to have you. So do you think that reverting the names of historical places is a positive way of dealing with the country's colonial past?
Well, let's just look first at naming a place. Names come up in a historical period. They reflect a particular period of time. So when you change it, for whatever reason, you may change a name. The question always is why? Because is it that you are looking at, you know, removing something which you're uncomfortable with, or it leaves a bad taste in our mouth and therefore we shouldn't reflect on it? You know, this, in a sense, whitewashing, yeah, our history, eradicating, I think it doesn't take away from the historical past. And there's always, you know, an argument for and against. I mean, do you retain a place name because it's there and it's in the collective, the current present day memory, and has been there for a long, long time? Or is it that you are looking at something which is, you know, a reflection on how we want to present ourselves currently? Do we use this mirror of the past and reflect our present? And how do we navigate that? And it really goes back at the end of the day to how we feel about our past and how at ease or ill at ease we are at you know, the good things and the bad things, you know, what's and all, you know, that sort of thing. And I think that when we start looking at name changing, we really have to drill down into all of this before we can make a decision, really.
So, and we have some members of the Eurasian community in Malacca arguing that this is akin to erasure of identity and that changing the name of a place doesn't really engage with its history. How would you respond to that?
The message, I suppose, that is understood is according to its audience and the perspective from which they're coming. So if you're saying the Eurasian community are saying, wait a minute, you know, don't change it because then it affects us and it eradicates our past, or you're reversing it to some time before that, change is inevitable. Things move on. But it really is about the dialogue that needs to come about. Because in having that dialogue, we can look back at ourselves, reflect on ourselves, and reflect on our history, and then hopefully come to a collective consensus. Consensus is always very difficult. I think it is a little bit of a disservice when we just blankly decide, you know, with a strike of a pen, let's change it. It can be quite uncomfortable, yeah? This looking back reflection, you know? Do we sanitize it? Do we just say, okay, let's get rid of this shadow cast by a colonial past? You can't get rid of it. You know, it's there, it's real.
And we're also seeing this conversation happening in other countries with statues being pulled down in the US and the UK and so on. How is the conversation here different compared to the West?
I think this shifting of name places, especially like streets and all that, right? Sometimes it's town, sometimes it's streets, a monument, you know, is because communities at some point become uncomfortable with its past. And if you're talking about pulling out statues and things like that, all of this had to do with really in response to, you know, slave trade, and things which are really quite negative. You know, you profited from human degradation, you know, somebody profited, and then they're celebrated by a statue being put up. In that particular time and place, that was an accepted form of behavior. We're now in a place where we are looking back at it and saying, wait a minute, definitely that wasn't a good thing. You know, slavery is not, you know, a good thing. You do not treat human beings this way. And so to celebrate a slave trader is not on, so we want to remove it. But it is part of the history. So the question is, how do you interpret and how does the information then get put out that actually presents a current day perspective while recognizing and interpreting it, you know, in the historical context? It does not mean accepting slave trade. You are looking at the historical past and you're saying, okay, right, fine, this was done for that reason. In our present situation and our understanding, we know what it means now. It reflects our values for today as opposed to our values at that time. And so we need to navigate that. And there is no one easy answer, I don't think, because there is a shift in time and in perception. And with this shift, imagine in the future there's going to be further shifts. And this conversation is not new. I mean, it's been going on for a long, 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 long time. I mean, in Malaysia, we're constantly changing street names. And then there's always reactions and agreements on it. You know, there are these two sides to it. It is, I think the important thing, as I said earlier, was supposed to have this conversation and to understand if we're going to do it, why we're doing it, and for what reason are we doing it. How the community, yeah, who in a sense is the custodian of that name or that place, respond to it, you know. But we need to be educated on it.
Right. And if we look at the practical implications of changing the names, what impact would changing a name like Georgetown or Butterworth end up having?
It is a marker. It's a time marker. Yeah. You can't divorce yourself from your past. You know, you can't reverse it. You can put it in a box and hide it away, but it's present. It's there, even if it is a little bit hidden. And so in the local language, in Malay, people will refer to Penang on the island side as Tanjung. And it's a common thing. And that's part of its historical name and place. And that's recognized by the locals. It's part of the texture of the place. And I think that that's something that won't ever go away, even when you add a new brand on it, so to speak. So it's not going to stop people from using the old name, I'll tell you that. My parents, my late parents, talk about in KL, you know, talk about Batu Road, Mountbatten Road. It places them in a particular generation. It places people who then say, oh, I know what you mean when you say Mountbatten Road, even if it had changed its name by the time I grew up. It is a particular historical context, and it's a marker of some kind. And it used to be Java Street before it became Mountbatten Road. And then it's now called Jalan Tun Perak. You know, when you look at Batu Road, it's now called Jalan Star, although its name is Jalan Tunku Abdul Rahman. But everybody calls it Jalan Star, you know, and my parents would have called it Batu Road. So what does that mean in the context of people's memories? It actually does place you in a particular time frame. And this naming exists because of a social, historical set of relationships and context. It is a difficult question, you know, do you change or don't you change? But like I say, I think first and foremost, there has to be some dialogue. And there has to be a real good reason for doing that and a discussion and a debate over it.
So when it comes to encouraging that dialogue, then, what is a good starting point for Malaysians to engage with our colonial history, I think, in a constructive, meaningful way?
History is extremely important to give us an understanding of our current position, and from that to know what we want to be in the future or the position we want to get to in the future. So it is not about, you know, do we name it this way or don't we name it this way? It is about really saying, all right, you know, let's look back at ourselves and understand that, you know, we need to frame it so that our environment is something that we ultimately are comfortable with, because our environment, our current situation, our context is all shaped by the past. Just because we change a name doesn't mean we can eradicate past, especially when we want to eradicate, you know, the sins of the world, so to speak, yeah? You know, because we feel guilty about something or because we really don't like it or, you know, or we don't want it or we feel abused by it. Ultimately, this does not help us move forward. So where do we need to start? We need to start by having a better and a more open understanding of our history in perspective, yeah? This is how it was in the past, and this is how it was viewed, and this is how it is in the present, and this is how it's viewed now. So we can see these perspectives. We need to be able to have an education system that allows this, that encourages us not to see everything as a flat, linear, boring, singular path, you know. Our landscape, our historical landscape is very, our cultural landscape is very varied. And we should celebrate that. We can't hide it, and we shouldn't, because we have learned, you know, if something bad happened, hopefully we'll have learned, and we don't want to repeat it. So that's really where we need to start, educating ourselves, educating our communities, and learning to listen to others and other points of view, and learning to be able to extract, I think, the information and extrapolate from it and interpret, you know, so that we come to a decision. But that decision will be for this particular point of time, because if it changes now, imagine it will change, could change in the future. It doesn't mean it will or won't, but it could. So the potential is always there. And we do have to be open to this. It's dynamic. We really need to recognize and accept the fact that it's dynamic, not a single boring level plane that is presented to us by only one perspective, which is, let's say, a prevailing political perspective, a prevailing national agenda for its day. Let's celebrate ourselves as Malaysians, yeah? And the fact that we have a very diverse history.
Elizabeth, thank you for that perspective. That was Independent Heritage Consultant Elizabeth Cardoza speaking to us about renaming historical places that are linked to our colonial past. And we're talking about this because there has been a push from some groups to have that exact renaming. And there's been pushback from people in the community essentially saying that, no, that amounts to an erasure of history. And so we've been asking you for your thoughts. And I would say we're getting lots of messages, and broadly across the, you know, just across the plains, people are agreeing with, I think, Elizabeth's point that if you're going to do it, there has to be a very good reason why, and mostly people don't want to do it. So Chris, for example, says, no change in the name of Georgetown. It is already Malaysian history. And we also have Atlas saying, I'd rather have these groups reflect on how far the country has come and play a role in solving today's problems. There's no clear advantage in renaming these places. And I agree in that sense that if there is going to be this much effort put into something, I think there has to be good reason for it. It has to be something that more than a small handful of people want. And that whole idea of engaging with the community, which Elizabeth touched on, is so, so crucial. We are going to come back and return to these messages. Keep them coming. Do you think that we should rename places in our country that are linked to our colonial past? You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.